Let's have a seat in God's presence. Ora da bashanda da makia koto felepesia kada bashata. Zokerabia kota la biashanda rabakasusia. Forever and ever. There'll never be an ever. Forever. Praise God. God is good to us. You know, when we come in the mornings like this, you're not waiting for somebody to lead you, you know. That's why we said the morning meetings will be more of ministering to the Lord. You know, you just open your heart. You just open your heart and just connect to the Lord, you know, with your heart. Let's check Luke chapter 2 before we go home. Or go to our various places of work. The Lord help us. Praise God. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Praise God. Can you give me this text in the old KJV, please? You see, the last sentence is, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, right? And that phrase, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, was what made the other sentences. Because the Holy Ghost was upon him, he was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The point is, whenever the Holy Ghost is upon you, it redirects your passion. Whenever the Holy Ghost is upon you, it redirects your passion. You see, your passion is proof of what's upon you. Huh? What you're passionate about is proof of what's upon you. Are we together here? So the Holy Ghost was upon him. And that's why, if you ask that man, Simeon, what's your purpose in life? What would Simeon say? Huh? To see the consolation of Israel. Praise God. That is what he will say. And the reason is because the Holy Ghost is upon him. So your passion is, your passion tells us what's upon you. Huh? Your passion tells us what's upon you. And that's why even if a man is a pastor, it doesn't mean that the Holy Ghost is upon him. He could have a passion that is just a general passion, right? Amen. Praise God. Have you fixed the sound on the online? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The what is upon you dictates your passion. And some of us, praise God. We need the Holy Spirit to come upon us so that we can have the right passion. A young man just waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now that's a very good passion, right? Yeah. And the enemy has a lot of passion to put in your heart. Praise God. How many of you enjoy to supply either funds or support to something that doesn't excite you at all? How many of you? Like you take your life savings to support what doesn't excite you. How many of you like that kind of adventure? What if something excites you? What if we found out what excites God? That's the secret of divine supply. If it doesn't excite God, do you think He will really be interested in supplying grace? Grace is His own work tool. Praise God. You know why your companies give you laptops? It's not for movies, right? And it's not generosity, right? Huh? Why did they give you a laptop? But do you watch movies with it sometimes? Are you doing the work? Yes. This is how prosperity works. Do they arrest you for watching a movie only? What do they arrest you for? They didn't work. I pray that the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Because I don't know how to get, I don't know how to put the Holy Spirit upon you. I just know that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, but I don't know how it will happen. But I know that if it happens, your passion will change. And I know that if your passion changes, your life will be full of grace.
Yeah.
You see, when the passion changes and then you're functioning in grace, it brings you to some completely supernatural, unnatural, inexplainable discernment. Like extreme strange discernment. Because how does Simeon enter a temple and see a baby and know that that's the Christ? Like, how did he know? And that he didn't know. The Bible did not, you know. I'm sure he didn't know by the word of knowledge. That's what happens when your heart is pure. And what I mean by a pure heart is when the Holy Spirit is upon you and you're passionate towards the things of God, you'll be able to feel after God. Yeah. You'll just feel after God. You'll just know this is where the Lord is. So that's why people who don't have the Holy Spirit upon them and want to pick a spouse, they don't even know what you're talking about. Picking a spouse is not some type of, it's not word of knowledge, it's not really like that. You just know that this is the way I should go. Why? Because marriage is not longer just what you are doing for yourself, you see, but it's like divine partnership for the execution of the will and the purposes of God upon the face of the earth. So I just pray that the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Amen. You know, that's like the best strategy I find in my mind right now, because, you know, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So can you see how some people cheat death? Through revelation. He just knows. So no matter the amount of bullets going on around him, no matter the amount of Boko Haram around him, Simeon knows that if I haven't seen Christ, I won't die. Now that's supernatural living, don't you think? Like, it's quite cold, isn't it? Yeah. Can you do something about that? I pray that the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Amen. Your battles will reduce. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ. And he came by the Spirit into what? The temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the Lord, then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. You don't understand? Have you ever heard somebody pray that prayer? Have you ever seen someone pray, God, it's time to die? How does somebody pray it's time to die? It must mean that they have tasted of a better life than this one. Huh? Why don't you want to die? Because you have hopes that this life will still be sweet. Is that not the reason? Is there anyone here who wants to die? Who doesn't want to die? Raise your hand. You don't want to die. If you don't want to die, raise your hand. I don't want to die. About 4 people want to die, but that's okay. But the reason is that we have hopes for a better life. So the reason he was okay with dying was that he had already seen a better one. And the better one he saw was not here. I pray that the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Amen. That's my prayer, that the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And it says, it's time for me to go. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, to a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of all thy people. That's the song we're singing. I have seen thy salvation. I tell you the truth, if you pick an average Jew in these days and ask him, he's not really going to relate salvation to the day a particular baby is born. If you pick a random young boy, he's looking for jobs or looking for something. What I'm saying is, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, he helps you know what's important and what's not important. Yeah. I tell you, there are a lot of things that are not important that people think are very important. Do you know one of the most important things one should be doing on earth in the mind of God is to plant strong churches? Do you know? Are you sure you know that there should be very strong churches? Now, in the world, is it so important to the people in the world that there should be churches? In fact, they feel like we should convert them to factories. Have you not heard that severally? Yeah. I said, well, how many factories have we built? Why? Because they feel the problem is economic. And they don't know that the problem is death. You have died, you think you need a factory. Dead man walking. Why not live first? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But what I'm saying is that the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is upon you, it helps you know what's priority. And the reason why a lot of you oscillate, like today you take it important, tomorrow you don't take it important, is because the Holy Spirit is not upon you, like it should be upon you. And that's why a lot of you are very apologetic about the life that you're living. You apologize. And you try to say, even though I'm living this life, I'm still brilliant. Like you act like I can flow in two worlds, as if there are two worlds. It's not a plus that I can flow in the second world. You don't get. We will execute 100% at that, but there's another thing we're engaging, that you can't bring the two to compare and say, I'm doing well here. This particular here is too far to measure it to this one. That's what I'm saying. Huh? So what I'm saying is that you can't say I'm still earthly relevant. They are not. If you're earthly relevant, we wouldn't be talking about earthly relevance, because that's a given. And it's a given that we need no crown for. I don't know if you get the point.
Yes, sir.
It's like Barca celebrating that they won Nigerian League. Barcelona, you know. That's what it means. It's like when you know, Enyimba played one team many years ago like this. What team did Enyimba play? That they nearly killed Enyimba. They played one foreign team. Inter Milan, where did they beat them? 7-0. Enyimba and Inter Milan. You people did not remember Enyimba and Inter Milan. Now Inter Milan should now carry a trophy and go and put it in their plaque. you get the point. And this analogy I'm using is even less than what we're talking about. It's like Paul bragging that, you see, even though I'm an apostle, I'm still a tent maker. I can make tent too. Dead people make powerful, beautiful tents. So life cannot be the reason why you're making tent. Are we here, friends?
Yes,
I pray that the Holy Ghost will come upon you.
Amen.
Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through my own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and she lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. Her marriage just lasted for 7 years. And she was a widow of about 84 years. That's 84 years. And then she departed not from the temple. She just didn't leave temple, but served God with fastings and prayer night and day. So that one's particular work was just intercession. I don't know. What did she taste that made the love of a man unnecessary? Like, what kind of love did she encounter? Because one of the greatest things that the Bible says it can't understand is the interaction between a man and a woman. It's a major need of the soul. How many of you believe that? Am I not correct? When you find a man that loves you, there are a lot of songs that talk about that, right? Every man needs a woman, a lot of songs. And they're not telling a lie. Sometimes if we don't even have a man or a woman in our lives, sometimes we question the love of God. Like if you don't have a man, you just wonder, does God really love me? Is that serious many times? In fact, some people have left the Lord for that. I said, I can't follow this Jesus that can't give me a man, or a woman. I think it's most likely from, it's women that usually get more offended. But Anna had something that didn't make the love of a man necessary, right? The Bible says, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spoke to him, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city. The child grew and waxed in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. My little talk this morning is just to encourage us and to pray for us that the Spirit will come upon us.
Amen.
I pray that the Spirit of God will come upon you.
Amen.
Do you know what I'm even saying affects our worship? In the meantime, when we're worshiping God, if it's not about ourselves, we don't really connect. Yeah, a lot of us, if we're not worshiping about ourselves, we don't. Like, it has to have something connected to either what God has done for you or how God delivered you, which is okay. But there's more to worship than that. There's a worship that also concerns you. It's only about God. I know you like, they don't know what you mean. Because you've been through a lot in life, and then when you are singing that song, you remember all that you have been through, and then you are singing, why should I care? Then you remember those who speak evil against you and say, whoopee, and then you are crying because you are just releasing those moments, you are just going through that, and they do know, and then you are really feeling sad in God's presence, And my favorite, wall you won't break down and mountain you won't climb up coming after me. Because you know where you have gone to. You know what you have done. And then you just love that song. And they're not bad. But sometimes when we begin to sing messianic songs that has to do with Jerusalem, Zion, it has to do with the Lord. Like the one we sang today. Because it doesn't connect with you sometimes, you can't really connect with it. In my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord, light to the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Are they in Greece? Yeah, I tell you. I know we hype ourselves a lot. Let me just make this line, this very strange thing that I want to say. We hype ourselves a lot, the Nigerian church, about worship and all of that. And I thank God for it. But I tell you, we are still not there at all. A lot of our worship is still emotionalism. Emotionalism, sensationalism, and craftsmanship. We haven't really started real Davidic worship. There are very few people that do real Davidic worship. And it's not a must you do Davidic worship, but I'm saying a lot of our worship is still tied to self. Lyrics. A lot of our songs is powerful writing. And there is nothing wrong with that. But I'm telling you, it's still a level. To sing God's heart You need the Holy Ghost to come upon you. And there are very few. One of the greatest Davidic psalmists I've seen in my life is Kingsbury. Yeah. I tell you, he's one of the greatest. I've not seen the Davidic anointing on anybody like I see it on him. It might not be popular, it might not be this. There's a Davidic anointing upon him. You know my prayer for you? My prayer for you is that may the thoughts of God not be strange to you. Like, you should not be wondering, God, when are you going to say God can't really share with you. And that's something about the Davidic anointing. Praise God. It brings you to the mind of God. Now, that's not all about worship. The Davidic anointing, because anointing is upon you. Let's not go there. Anointing is upon you. I cannot pray the Davidic anointing and live the life of Saul. I can have the Davidic anointing upon me, but I have the soul of Saul. Do you understand that? So, that we sing Davidic songs doesn't mean that we are getting it right. You get the point now. You can have Davidic anointing upon you. That anytime you sing, all you say is, "Oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, I miss you, oh Jerusalem. Come near to me, you Jerusalem. I want to lay my bed on Zion." You can be singing. What did Bisola say, Kailas? What is you can be singing it and you are in Lekki, your bed is in Lekki, your soul is in Lekki. You are not moving towards any Jerusalem. Are you together, my friend? But I pray that the Holy Ghost will come upon you.
Amen.
It's my prayer. It's the Holy Spirit that can come upon you. So that what means more to God will mean much to you. And so we thank God for all that He's doing. Thank God for all that He's doing. You know, what I said about our worship, you know, I don't mean that whatever worship is going on here is better than whatever we have. I'm just saying that there is more that God is expecting from us. You get the point now. There is what? There is more. Do you understand? And I've not said one worship leader is greater than another one. I'm just saying that I notice an anointing on one. You understand? You see, but anointing is not the same as maturity. Do you understand? When you look at people like Pastor Nat, those are examples of a believer. Do you understand that? Those are what? Examples of a believer. If you go and listen to Baba Nat and say he's not Davidic, you are not, you are Jonathan. Do you understand? I needed to clarify that because I don't want you not thinking rightly. So we shall see tonight, and tonight is going to be a great night by the grace of God. Glory to Jesus. All right, let me allow everybody to leave. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Shalom. Have a great day.